In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And if you're ever in town, we would love for you not only to visit us, but to say hello. Our church times on Sunday are 9 a.m. and 10:15. We have Sunday schools on both of those times as well. And then Sunday evenings, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And on Wednesdays, we have many Bible studies from basically 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So join us and visit us and say hello. We would love to shake your hand and meet and greet you. Now, we're in the book of Exodus, chapter 31. We just learned how God is going to equip people in Israel, members of the body of Israel, to build the earthly tabernacle. And we spent a little bit of time talking how God has given you and I gifts to build a spiritual tabernacle, so to speak, for the kingdom of God. Now, let's come to verse 12, and we're returning back to the Sabbath. Now, this may seem out of place, but it's not. It's actually critical that it's right here, because think about this. God is giving the plans to build the tabernacle to Moses. They're getting excited, no doubt, but they must not lose sight that at the end of the day, all this activity must come back to the center and heart of worship. Let me read chapter 31 at verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, for it is holy to you, everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." That's another way of saying they shall be killed. "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath through all their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God." Now, as I said earlier, why is this passage here? Because they're about to do this work, building a tabernacle, and God says, hang on, don't lose sight that all of this work is ultimately for the purpose of worship. And so, as you're building, we're going to take Saturdays off. We're not going to keep working you. We're not going to be like the Egyptians who worked you 9 out of 10 days straight. I don't want you, God is saying, to work on the Sabbath, even for a good cause, even for a righteous cause. I want you to rest, catch your breath, be refreshed, and enjoy life and family. And I'll be honest with you, this is a challenge, isn't it, in our day and age? Running around in the rat race. So many things to do, so many things to watch and see, and we can just lose sight of pausing, praying, and fellowshipping with one another. When's the last time you looked at your spouse, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, and just had a nice, quiet time with them, appreciating them? We need to do more of this today. It's so easy to neglect that which is right in front of us and go a ways to go do the things we want to do. And boy, oh boy, is it easy today to fill our time up with things that will not have any eternal impact. See, God is the object of worship. And this has been made possible by his redemption of his people. And even though they're building a house for God, God says, hey, house is one thing. You got to work. But don't lose sight of the main thing, me and worshiping me. Because that's where you're going to find satisfaction. That's where you're going to find peace and rest. Now, there is something kind of interesting about the Sabbath being mentioned so many times here and in this spot in the Bible. By the way, listen to this. The Sabbath is mentioned 7 times between Genesis and Exodus up to this point. So let me give you those passages. Genesis 2, 2 through 3, Exodus 16, 23 through 29, Exodus 20, 8 through 11, Exodus 23, 12, Exodus 34, 21, Exodus 31, 12 through 18, and Exodus 35, 1 through 3. So the topic is mentioned these 7 times, okay? This is the 7th and final speech that God gives to Moses from Exodus 25 to 31. That's Exodus 25, 1, Exodus 30, 11, Exodus 30, 17, Exodus 30, 22, Exodus 30, 34, Exodus 31, 1, and Exodus 31, 12. Now, why am I taking the time to enumerate all these numbers and all that? Is to show you that, look at the big picture. Not only is this passage focusing on the Sabbath, but there is a culmination that's been leading to this passage. And it shows you the significance of it. And even within chapter 31, 12 through 18, Sabbath is mentioned 7 times in this section alone. Pretty amazing. So the bottom line is, God's trying to make a point. The Sabbath is important for Israel. Now, it does talk about what happens when someone profanes the Sabbath. And this is the first time the penalty is given. Exodus 31, 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off. 2 phrases, put to death, shall be cut off, in parallel, and they mean the same thing, to die. Now, the connection to God and creation is also mentioned in verse 17. It is a sign between me, not the church, and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, this is going all the way back now to Genesis chapter 1, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the 7th day, he rested and was refreshed. Now, the word rested in the Hebrew means simply to cease from work. Now, the word refresh means to catch one's breath. Now, this is not the way we need to understand God, as he was so tired from making the world in 6 days that he just had to catch his breath. That's not what's being expressed here. But what is being expressed is God enjoying on the 7th day his creation. And if you remember from Genesis, God says at the very end, it was very good. And so God enjoyed his creation. He's looking at it and it's going, this is good, because there's no sin. And it's his handiwork, and everything he does perfect. So that's the idea from God's point of view. But when we apply this to us, guess what? We're working hard and we're tired. We need to physically rest and we need to be refreshed, because that is how God has made us. And during those times of resting and refreshing, there is time set aside to worship, but also time set aside to enjoy relationships. I don't doubt that on the Sabbath, and it seems to be strongly implied, this was family time. This was time to be with family or friends, to enjoy company. That's what the idea was, to restore relationships and to be thankful. Now, I can't get around another important passage about rest, and you have to jump to Hebrews 4:8, because it gives us some more insight about the rest. For if Joshua had given them rest, and as you know, Joshua brought the people into the land, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Now, I want to make a point right here. Our life, our whole life, particularly our Christian life, is a life of service. And our death is our time of rest. Now, that may seem obvious to you, but the implications are enormous. It's in this life and this life alone that you may work and you may serve God. You are building up or tearing down your reward. When you obey and serve God for his will and his kingdom, you're going to be rewarded. And when you neglect to use your gifts to serve God, to love his people, you forsake a reward. Time is limited. Solomon said it's appointed for men to be born and to die. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for men to die once, and then comes judgment. So let's be sober. Let's take advantage of the opportunities we have. I wake up every day praying, God, help me to use your time rightly. And some days I'm torn. Some days I'm struggling. But we all must persevere and always be about the business of God's work. But let me continue on the verse, Hebrews 4, because it's pretty neat. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In other words, God is exhorting us, work hard for me. Rest along the way, but understand all the work you're doing, your life is work, and your rest is eternity. Exodus 31:18, let's return now back to the passage. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Pretty cool. How would you like to have that in your hand? Now, each tablet, I believe, had the Ten Commandments. When you see them pictured, they're like one tablet has on one side five commands, and then there's a second tablet with another five commands. That's not how to understand this. There are two identical tablets, front and back, or front, either case, each tablet had all Ten Commandments, because one tablet represented God's copy of the covenant, and the other tablet represented the Israelites' copy of the covenant. Now, what's the application here? I think 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and all the way through 7:16 really helps us understand something. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So here's Israel. They've come out of Egypt. God is now bringing the law. He's going to help them build a tabernacle for the purpose of worship. And the people must be clean. They must repent of their sins, obey God, and walk in his commands and statutes. And that is the command to you and I. We've been given this great privilege, this great gift of salvation, these great gifts to serve. But if we're not a vessel of honor, we cannot serve with honor. So I challenge you this week, consider how you are keeping yourself from being stained by this world. Until we meet again, may you pray and grow in God's Word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.